Ralphie May is one of the biggest comedians on the stand-up circuit today. Not just because after becoming the first runner-up on the first season of Last Comic Standing, he's made numerous appearances on Comedy Central, The Opie and Anthony Show, and comedy clubs around the nation, but also because of his signature girth. His comedy specials Prime Cut, Just Correct, and Girth of a Nation are out on DVD, and he joins me now. Hey, Ralphie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm so glad you're with us. Now, I feel comfortable saying this because you yourself named your show Girth of a Nation. So
yeah,
much of your comedic material deals with being overweight. How do you...
I disagree.
Oh.
I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at it, I mean, it always has the subcontext of me being a big guy, but I deal with weighty issues. Like on Girth of a Nation, I dealt with... everything from the tsunami to the passing of the Pope to controversial subjects. You know, those are all controversial. To smoking weed with Jesus.
How did that go, by the way?
Drug stories. It's awesome. A lot of people give me static because they don't think I'm... that's not a very Christian thing to want to smoke weed with Jesus. And I say I totally disagree because... that's me spending more time with Jesus. I think that technically makes me a better one. And moreover, I say that I have a theory that Jesus might have been smoking weed back in the day. You never know. I mean, here's my proof. He was a carpenter. And who do you know that works construction that doesn't smoke weed?
Fair enough.
Also, he had long hair, a beard, sandals, hung out with 12 dudes with no visible means of support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, somebody was selling bags.
Do you know what I just heard today? This is a true story, that some scientist or historian thinks that Moses was doing psychedelic drugs.
I believe it. I believe it.
The burning bush.
I believe it, man. The burning bush, man. Come on. Come on, man.
Well,
Bush is talking to him. I've been there. I've had a houseplant have a conversation with me before on LSD.
Fair enough. You do touch on weighty subjects. You're very fearless because you do a lot of jokes that deal with cultural differences. I want to play one. Here you're performing stand up for the Big Black Comedy Show, a live comedy concert with a largely black audience, and you are talking about how you're correct and not politically correct.
The biggest one is African American. What the f- African American? That came around 92. What the f- happened to black folks? Right. African American. That room full of black people. Any of y'all been to Africa? Oh, one lady over there. Okay, Kumbale. Yeah, yeah. All right, you're African American, ma'am. The rest of these people are black.
Ralphie, we're on the radio, so I'm going to tell everybody you're white. Let's get that out there.
Yeah.
How do you get away with that? How come you can stand up there and that audience was almost all black and they're laughing?
Yeah, and I also got the only standing ovation on that whole show. The reason is because I'm honest, and I don't think that people's perception, especially white people's perception of the black race, is entirely correct. They think that they're ultra sensitive to everything, and I totally would disagree with that. They're honest to a fault. In the same show, I talked about Kobe Bryant and how I thought he was being railroaded by a white county in Colorado when the whole rape case was coming up, and they agree with me on that one. I think that any time that that we subjugate different minorities in this country to not be part of the system but to be a blank American, I think we take something innately away from them, because at the end of the day, white people are still white. You never heard a white guy go, I'm European American. All right, it never happens like that.
Ralphie, have you ever been on stage riffing on any of this and found an audience to turn against you? Have they ever been cold
never.
To your saying things like you see them? Never.
No.
Wow.
Never. Not in 18 years. My first comedy that I started doing was at the Hip Hop Comedy Stop in Houston, Texas. It was Rashawn McDonald and Steve Harvey's old room, and the Comedy Showcase that's owned by Danny Martinez. Then the only Latino-owned comedy club in the country, and I think it still might be the only Latino-owned comedy club in the country. And I just saw people as individuals, and I don't think if you speak the truth with no malice or hate in your heart, people read that and they understand. You know, I think that everybody is so PC, politically correct, and why? I mean, it's always been wrong. And you know, 50 years ago, it was politically correct to have separate drinking fountains and stuff. And even today, I mean, it's politically correct to make fun of gays and fat people. I mean, those are the only groups left. And gays, you know, they'll throw a parade up at every place.
Do you think it's fair to make fun of fat people?
I think it's fair to make fun of everybody.
Okay.
As long as it's funny.
Now, I only have a couple minutes left with you, and I want to get to I want to get to a personal question that isn't funny. I wonder if this is how you became funny. You had a traumatic event when you were a teenager that caused you to gain weight, right? Can you tell us what happened?
I was a little bit of overweight before that, but I was in a car wreck when I was 16. I got hit by a drunk driver. I rolled down a mountain. I broke 42 bones, 64 separate breaks. I broke my back in 3 places, broke my neck in 2 places. I was partially paralyzed from the waist down for about 10 and a half months till spinal swelling stopped. From that, I don't know if you're familiar with the Southern culture, but when
I'm from Georgia,
sick,
brother.
Okay, well, then you know that every time you get sick, people in the South feed you, and my people were no different, and I had one arm that was good, my right one, or as I like to call it, my fork arm, and I just kept on piling. I was used to eating about 3,500 to 4,000 calories a day and burning it off. I was a athlete, and I continued to eat that much, and my metabolism slowed, and it just became a snowball effect. And then when I looked up about 10 years ago, I was around 800 pounds. And I had a stomach stapling, and that brought me down to about 300 pounds less.
And then it
plateaued out a little bit, and then I started gaining a little bit more. And then last comet came around and had gastric bypass, Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. And since then, I've lost an additional 300 pounds. So I've lost a whole fat man, and I'm still fat.
Now,
you know, I'm working on it, though, little sister.
Now you're forthcoming about, you know, your struggle and what you've done. Some people, like Carney Wilson from Wilson Phillips, has had gastric bypass, and Al Roker, of course. And then there's some people who don't want us to know that they have. So, actually, Ralphie, we have a little game. Will you play gastric or not gastric with me?
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Love to.
Did the following person have gastric bypass surgery? American Idol judge Randy Jackson.
Yes.
Good. Football analyst John Madden.
No.
Ooh, you're good. Daytime talk show host Jenny Jones.
No.
Ooh, you are 3 for 3, sir. Okay, ready? Vampire novelist Anne Rice.
Yes.
Yes. You know, she was only 250 pounds. That's small.
Yeah, but she's from New Orleans. She can't help it. She's got a sickness. New Orleans is a food town. Oh, my God.
All right, ready? Star Jones.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Isn't that something? She, I mean,
she doesn't
she
want
loses
us to
all the
know
weight
that.
And marries that guy. You know, it's like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah, we. Can,
she
we,
looks scary. I liked her bigger. I got to be honest with
too.
You. I liked her. I thought she was a prettier woman. Now she looks kind of like an ant. You know, like Sam Cassell with a weave.
Ralphie, you're the champion of gastric or not gastric. I mean, we've never played before, but you are the reigning champion.
I hold that title. That's awesome.
I have one final question. Your wife had your first child, April, June, May, last fall.
Yes.
What's next? Do you have any other months you have your eye on for future baby names?
I if it's a boy, we were thinking about Augustus. out of respect. I love it. I love the name, and I think it's a hard one to forget, and that's why I got it. But you're being so much sweeter than my friends. My friends
are
like,
I love it.
Dude, that's a stripper name, dude. I'm like, no, it's not. Strippers name themselves after cars they can't afford, like Lexus and Mercedes and Chrysler 300. She's a big girl. She works in Hoboken.
Ralphie, thank you. Will you please come back and play more games with us?
I would love to.
Okay,
I would
good.
Love to. I'm actually going to be in New York this week. I'm performing. I'm hosting for Comedy Central Live at Gotham, a TV show they run for young comedians. And I'm the host. But anytime, little sister, you would like me, I would love to be a part of your show.
Thank you for joining us. And as we say in the South, y'all come back now. Ralphie May is a stand-up comedian and one of the hosts of Comedy Central's Live at Gotham. For more information on Ralphie May, go to our website, morefairgame.org.